Ramsey TV.
Well, when people ask me, Martin, who's the best doctor you've ever had? Of all the doctors you've seen, I have to say, Dr. Daniels. And if you want to know his first name, it's Jack. Dr. Jack Daniels. He's got the solution to all pain and anxiety, both physical and emotional trouble. Dr. Daniels can fix your troubles. As the scriptures say, give strong drink to those who are perishing. I'm Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. Welcome. The only thing I know to do now is just to read the scripture and comment on the scripture. The Word of God is our foundation. By the way, I'm wearing therapy glasses. Sergio, the doctor in Miami, he prescribed these for me. They're actually purple tinted, and he tested me for different colors, and he said, this is your color for mood, for healing, or whatever. So I have to wear these 30 minutes every day, preferably outside. I haven't started yet. I just got them in the mail yesterday, so I'm wearing them today for the first time because, I'll be honest with you, I was watching some scenes after dinner, and after the precious and valuable administrations from Dr. Daniels, I was looking at some Jesus Christ Superstar clips, and I was just crying. So beautiful, so precious to me. And my right eye got kind of red and everything, so I don't think I look very good right now. Other than that, I look fantastic. But so I'm just, I was going to wear my aviator shades, and then Maria said, why don't you wear your purple glasses? And I thought, why didn't I think of that? That's what I thought. So I got my purple glasses, put them on, and look at me, look at me, look at me now. Yeah, you have to have fun, but you have to know how. And so I got my purple therapy glasses on right now. So I think I look pretty dashing. Right now, what I want to do is I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 because I want to show you that the era is limited. This word limited, very interesting word in the Greek. I forget what the word is in the Greek, but I know where it was used. You know, you remember Ananias and Sapphira, they cheated the apostles. They embezzled from the money that they were giving to the apostles in the book of Acts. And they died. Remember that? I'll put the reference down here. Because in those days, in early Acts period, the kingdom powers were in play. And so there was instant judgment. Not like that today. Not today, no. Bad people are not instantly judged. In fact, bad people rise to the top like cream. And the good people are at the bottom, like me, you know? So, you know, the first or last or first, that's the way it is now. But back in the day, when the kingdom powers were still operating, Ananias and Sapphira, two rascals who embezzled from the apostles, it's not nice to cheat the apostle Peter. No, no, Peter doesn't take too kindly to that. And they died and they were enshrouded. They were wrapped up, scripture says. And the same Greek word to describe how Ananias and Sapphira, I forget which one, probably both, were enshrouded. This word was translated enshroud, and it's translated limited here. This is one of those rare instances, unfortunately not so rare, where the concordant has to use two different words to translate the same Greek word. So the way I interpret this, the era is limited. Paul's saying, let's go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. Now this I am averring. That is a very strong word. The concordant is very specific. The King James will probably just say, I am saying. But to aver is a very strong saying, stronger than I'm saying. I'm averring. Paul says this, I'm averring that the era is limited. Same Greek word translated enshroud in Acts concerning the demise of Ananias and Sapphira who cheated the apostles, embezzled from Peter. Not a good idea. Remember that old commercial when Mother Nature, it's about chiffon margarine. Somebody gives chiffon margarine to Mother Nature, and she tastes it, and she says, "Ah, yes, my sweet, creamy butter." And then an off-camera voice says, "No, it's not butter. It's margarine." And then she says, "It's not nice to fool Mother Nature." And then thunder and lightning comes on. Well, it's not nice to embezzle from Peter. And Ananias and Sapphira instantly perished, and they were enshrouded. And you know what? I'm just going to have to, if I can see through these purple glasses, it has to do with being wrapped up. They enshrouded the dead. That is, they wrapped them up so that their, it was very practical, so that their limbs wouldn't, like, be all gangly and hanging out. Okay? Enshroud. I can't see anything with these glasses on. I'm going to take them off. I can't see anything with them off either. Interesting. E-N-O, that's Enoch, enough, E-N-T, S before T, E-N-S-L, enshroud a corpse, there it is, to enshroud a corpse, Ananias, okay, concerning Ananias, they enshrouded that dude, idiomatically, limit time era, 1 Corinthians 7:29, so the Greek word is sunstello, I remember that now, because I've done a teaching on this before, I'm just a little rusty on it, sunstello, ah, the English elements are together put, sunstello, together put, only used two times in the scripture, once here concerning this era, this is the same era Paul lived in, and used here and to describe wrapping Ananias for burial, to together put, they put his limbs together, wrapped him up so that he wouldn't dangle as they carried him to the tomb. So, that's helpful for you to know as I read this verse. The era is limited. That is, it's being wrapped up. It's being enshrouded. It's dead. It's going away. And you say, but Martin, it's been 2,000 years since Paul wrote that. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's just like in Romans when Paul says, the chiefs of this eon, or is that 1 Corinthians? Yeah, 1 Corinthians. The chiefs of this eon are being discarded. It's the incomplete verb form. It's happening even as we speak. Even as the chiefs of this eon, the famous people, the world-class athletes, the actors and actresses and the musicians, the rock stars, even as they are celebrated and even as they are performing at the Super Bowl, even as they are winning awards, even as they are winning Grammys and Emmys and Tonys, they are being discarded. You have to have X-ray vision to see the actor at the podium winning the Oscar for Best Actor. You have to be able to have supernatural spiritual vision to say that that person is being discarded. The chiefs of this eon are being discarded. I'll put the verse down here. The chiefs of this eon are being discarded. And this era is limited. It's being wrapped up. And it was being wrapped up even as Paul was writing this 2,000 years ago. It's still being wrapped up. If it was being wrapped up now, how much more is it being wrapped? If it was wrapped up then, I'm sorry, how much more is it being wrapped up now? Much more. Wrapped up, done, complete, finished. And God's giving us, it's almost like prolepsis, where he's calling what is not as though it were. It is so being wrapped up. And the chiefs of this eon are so being discarded, putting on the disc, put on the discard pile. Which means, and there's another proleptic statement in Ephesians 2:6, that we are now seated among the celestials. I don't feel like I'm seated among the celestials. I feel like shit. Not among the celestials, but it's prolepsis, calling what is not as though it were. It's so sure to happen that God calls it, tells it, dictates it to Paul as though it were true. Who now seats us among the celestials. We are so destined for there. That you might as well consider yourself there, even though you're not. I knew a guy in Florida years ago who didn't understand this figure of speech of prolepsis, and he said, we're now among the celestials, Martin. I said, are you out of your mind? At the time I was living in Pennsylvania, I was looking out the window, it was snowing. I said, no, I'm in Pennsylvania. No, you're among the celestials. It's a figure of speech, brother. It's called prolepsis. He didn't get it, not at all. Let's go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. This I am averring. This is our apostle speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The era is limited. Don't let Clyde Pilkington talk you out of this. Clyde Pilkington has an article called The Era is Limitless. So you have a choice. You can either believe Clyde Pilkington, who has admitted, if you watched the video yesterday, admitted to making many mistakes, to currently holding many false teachings. He admitted it on his video. I'll play it again right now. Here it goes.
And you know what? I teach some things that are wrong. I'm always the first person to tell you that. My history tells me that I've been horribly wrong about things. And I still am. I just don't know what they are yet.
Yeah, so that man, Clyde Pilkington, who says, I still make lots of mistakes, okay? He says the era is limitless. He sees this era as a different era that Paul is talking about. No, that is completely mistaken. But what would you expect from a man who says he's constantly mistaken? The era is limited. It's being wrapped up. It's limited. That furthermore, here's how we should be acting in an era that is limited. This is going to sound weird at first. I've taught on this before, but hang in there. I'm going to explain it. That those also having wives may be as not having them. Okay, this doesn't mean you ignore your wife. This goes the other way too. Those having husbands be as though not having them. In other words, you fulfill your duty and your love for your husband or wife, but you hold on to them loosely. I've given this message 100 times, and I will give it until the snatching away. This message is being opposed. Many have not heard me give this message. Many are not aware of this scripture. Here it is. Those having wives may be as not having them. And Clyde Pilkington is so wrong about this passage. He says, I should quote him, but I mean, he wrote this in his newsletter that, boy, if any man would follow, he claims that this era, Paul's talking about here in 1 Corinthians, was a specific era where the church was being persecuted and the ecclesia moved out of that era and there was a new era. That is completely false. Because Mr. Pilkington says, if any husband were to treat his wife like Paul is advising people to husbands to treat their wives here, then these husbands will soon be without wives. As if Paul, during any era, even an era of persecution, would give men advice, bad advice that would cause them to lose their wives. No, that just proves that Clyde totally doesn't get this passage. It just means holding loosely. You'll see that as we go on, verse 30. And those lamenting as not lamenting, that is, if somebody dies that you love, you lament, you cry, but you, as though you're not lamenting because you know you're going to see them again. You know that it's temporary. Death is temporary. There is resurrection after death. And those rejoicing as not rejoicing. In other words, don't let your lows be so low and your highs be so high. Paul's encouraging us to have a more even walk where we don't freak out with grief and we don't freak out with joy. My example is always like people who win a washer dryer on The Price is Right. They jump up and down, they clap, or they win the showcase and they're absolutely crazy. If I was on The Price is Right and they said, Martin Zetter, you've just won a brand new washer and dryer, I'd be like, I already have one. I would be the worst contestant. I think while the people are in line getting tickets for The Price is Right, I think they look for people who are on sugar highs or who are absolutely fucking crazy, very high strung, very crazy people, jumpy people, people who are on some kind of stimulant or something, and then they call them out. Like, Jeannie Garofalo, come on down. You're the next contestant on the new Price is Right. Why did they call her? Because they realized when they saw her waiting in line that she was nuts, and so that she was going to react very broadly and crazily to winning a washer and dryer. But if you win a washer and dryer, if you win the lottery, you just go, okay, that's nice. And if you lose someone you love, you cry and you weep, and it's terrible. Or a pet. I've mourned many pets, and you just, you feel completely sad and devastated, and you mourn for a particular amount of time, and then you have to bury them and go on. So in other words, those lamenting as not, just you're still lamenting, but it's as though you're not lamenting because you have an expectation. And you're rejoicing, but not as rejoicing, because whatever rejoicing you're doing now is because of some temporary advantage in this life. Oh, I got a new job. Oh, the price of eggs went down. Or, oh, gas, whatever. Oh, I got a new car. Okay, just keep it down. Who cares? You got a new car. So what? So you got a car. That don't impress me much. Remember that song? So you think you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much. Okay. And then Paul says, and those buying as not retaining. So Paul's not saying don't go out. Don't not go out and buy stuff. Like, go to Amazon.com, get what you need. Get the stuff you need. Just don't, like, hug it. Hang on to it. But Clyde says we're supposed to do all these things. I'm going to criticize Clyde until the freaking snatching away, because it's a poison in the body of Christ. Friends of mine are succumbing to it, and it really infuriates me. I have righteous indignation about it. It is righteous indignation. But he only focuses, you'll never hear him go past verse 29 when he teaches on this. Those having wives maybe is not having them. What kind of advice is that? That's only advice for people who are undergoing severe trials. Now, that's advice for anybody during this era of the wicked eon. It's like, cut your spouse some slack. Don't choke them to death. Don't smother them to death. Let them have their lives. Let them live as they let you live. You love them. You care for them. But you don't put a stranglehold on them. Same with your goods. Same with stuff you buy. You buy it and you use it. You know, I bought a bicycle in 1976, a Ross Grand Tour. I bought it in Canton, Ohio, from Dell's Cyclery on West Tuscarawas Street. And I rode that bicycle across the United States twice. That bicycle went across the United States in 1980, solo, and then in 1984 with my then wife. So, people ask me, man, you must love bicycles. No, I really don't. I don't really care about bicycles. I'm just using this contraption to have an experience. So I bought it, but I didn't retain it. I didn't hold tight to it. What I held tight to was my experience. Was it allowed me to do something unique, something that changed my life, something that I still draw on for confidence, for power, for strength. Man, I bicycled across the United States by myself. It's amazing. I'm not an organized person, but I have guts and determination. And I did this. It's fantastic. And I just used the bicycle. That's buying and not retaining, okay? You must love bicycles. No, I really don't. Verse 31, and those using this world as, not using it up. The word as is very important in all these clauses. You use the world. Of course, use it. You're in the world. Use it. Use what you need. You use alcohol, you use cigarettes, you use chocolate, whatever you need. Whatever you need, whatever gets you through the night, as John Lennon sang. But you don't use it up. In other words, you don't overdo it. My dad used to say, and I used to hate it when he said this, but he was so wise and he was so correct. He said, moderation in all things. God, I hated it when he said that. But he was so right. Moderation. Use it, not use it up. For the fashion of this world is passing by. It's been a long time since I taught on this, but that word fashion in the Greek is really, really good. Let's do a life study. Let me find that word. Oh my God, I can hardly see fashion. The fashion, the prevailing form, figure, Greek word, schema. Yeah, schema, figure. The prevailing form. This word is only used one other time. Philippians 2:8, Christ found in fashion as a human. The prevailing form. He took the form of a human. So Paul is telling us here the fashion of this world, the form of this world. If you're a woman and you follow fashions, they change all the time. Some women just, they wear clothing and they think it's great, but they find that it's out of form. It's out of fashion. But everything in this world, the fashion of everything is passing by. It's going away. So who cares? Who freaking cares what you wear? Who freaking cares what's popular or what's fashionable? Only shallow people really care about it. They have to drive the latest car, wear the latest clothes, say the latest phrases, know the latest songs, the coolest performers or whatever. Who cares? Why? Because the fashion, the form, the schema of this world is passing by. See, that's an incomplete verb form. It's ongoing. Even while it seems the world is high on the hog, living it up, it's not. It's passing by. It's passing by. And you, my friend, you, my fellow member of the body of Christ, you are on the ascendancy. You don't feel like it? Neither do I. Believe me, I'm feeling like I'm just going down the tubes. But that's my flesh. Paul has a great verse. I'll quote it down here. Though our outward man may be decaying, that's me, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Even while I'm decaying on the outside, which I feel like I'm doing now, I may recover, I may not. I'm decaying on the outside, but the inward man is being renewed day by day, because I, every time I read these scriptures, it's a freaking analgesic. It's amazing. It's a painkiller. So is Dr. Daniels. I got to admit that. Okay, now, Paul says 32. Now, I want you to be without worry. That's why he's saying these things. I think worry is the Greek word mariano. It means part remind. Worry is you're constantly reminding yourself about little parts. That those are the English elements, part remind. I think it's mariano. I'll put the Greek word down here. I'm just trying to remember it. I might have it all wrong, but I do remember the English elements, and that's part remind, worry. It's just like you're constantly reminding yourself of things. Like this life is so complicated, and you're constantly having to say, oh my God, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Paul wants you to be without that. Paul wants you to not do that. Paul wants you to let things go, drop things. There's so many things you need to drop. Just drop and forget about. You think they're so important, but the fashion of this world is passing by. You don't need to look good. I walked through, before I used to put a jacket on to cover this thing on my neck. Now I don't even care. I go out with this bandage on my neck. And if you saw, again, if you saw how my neck looked, I mean, even I can't go out with, it's just hideous. I've shown a few of you. So, you know, but anyway, it's all passing by. It's going away. I mean, everything in this eon is passing by. It's on borrowed time. It's way overdue to be discarded. And those who are first will be last, and those who are last will be first. That is a principle of God's, and it applies to us. These purple glasses are pretty great. I'm supposed to wear them outside, though. I want you to be without worry. The unmarried one is solicitous about the things of the Lord, how he should be pleasing the Lord. Yet he who marries is solicitous about the things of the world, how he should be pleasing his wife. And that's true. Paul's just stating the facts. He's worried about how to please his wife and is parted. The unmarried woman as well. It goes both ways. Unmarried woman as well as the virgin. The unmarried one is solicitous about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy in body as well as in spirit, separated, that is, from a man. Yet she who marries is solicitous about the things of the world, how she should be pleasing her husband. You see, this is all true. If you're married, you have to be solicitous about your husband or your wife. You have to care about them. You have to love them. And so you can't, like, focus on the Lord all the time. But then Paul just gave you an out. He said you can care for your wife, you can care for your husband without strangling them to death and without selling your soul to them. So he's giving you an out. This is a beautiful verse. Paul says in verse 35, now this I'm saying for your own expedience. Expedience is what is good for you, for the time, for the era, for this era that is going away. This is expedient for you. That even though you're married, you've got to care for your wife. You have to give your wife what she needs. You have to take care of her. Wives, you have to give your husband what he needs. Take care of him. Okay? But at the same time, you hold them loosely. Because you have your own life and he has his own life. Okay? That's what Paul starts this with. those having wives be as not having them. That's your out. It goes for wives too. Those having husbands be as though not having them. You have them, but they could go away at any time. And the wife could go away at any time. Sad shit. I don't like any of it. I hate death. I hate separation. It sucks. I want to be together with my wife all the time. You know, but I can't dictate her life. I can't tie her to the sofa and say, you're staying here. And she can't do that to me either. So we give each other grace. And we give each other a long leash. There's still a leash. There's still a connection. There's still love and caring. But it's just a loose leash, right? That's what Paul's saying here. Now this I'm saying for your own expedience. He's giving you advice that's going to help you. Not that I should be casting a noose over you. He's not, again, he's not trying to give you a burden. He's doing the opposite, unburdening you. But for that which is respectable and assiduous. Oh, yeah, let's be assiduous, shall we? And respectable. To be undistractedly for the Lord. So the ideal is, if you can do it, to remain single. I can't do it. I have to be with a woman, specifically with Maria. I have to be, because I suck by myself. That's just me. For those of you who are, for those men who are alone and who enjoy being alone, who can get along with being, I envy the hell out of you. Good for you. Good for you. I can't. I need companionship. I need that feminine presence in my life, and Maria serves that purpose, and I thank God for her, and I'd be really devastated without her. But Paul is saying that the better thing to do, if you can manage to be alone, then you can be undistracted for the Lord. Doesn't sound like a great life to me, but you know, when I'm in front of this camera, I'm undistracted for the Lord, even while Maria's in the next room. When I'm done here, I go in there, give her a kiss, and we watch a series on television together before I go to bed. Okay, so there you have it. That's my life, and you're welcome to it. And it's this Paul's way of telling us that even though things out there in the sicko world, even though things look like they're going strong, even though the people, the intelligentsia, the hierarchy, the people who think they're really something, even though they seem to be on high, don't be deceived by that. Do not be deceived. The principles of this world are going down. Their fortunes are being wrecked as we speak, and they don't even realize it because we are on the eve of the apocalypse. We're on the eve of the tribulation. Their fortunes are on borrowed time. Their fame is on borrowed time. Their riches is on borrowed time. In the meantime, your anonymity and your slog through the mud and your ill health and your dying frame, your decimated opinion of yourself, your sad life is on the rise. You're on the ascendancy. You are moments away from having it all, from being the richest people in the universe, because God's arm, his eye, his heart, his mind is on you. And even while you're dying, he is lifting you up. For as our outward man is decaying day by day, yet that within is on the ascendancy.